9, verse 6. And we read it just a while ago. And this, in this second prophecy, Isaiah unlocks for us four names, four characters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Can you just say that with me? Wonderful Counselor. Come on, guys. Are you Wonderful Counselor? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. Amen. These four names speak to us wisdom, power, security, and assurance. And I want to briefly just look at them this morning. Okay, let's look at the first one. Wonderful Counselor. Now, when we say wonderful, what do we mean? It's like, wow, wonderful, right? Extraordinary, astonishing. When we hear the word counselor, we think of an advisor. We think of somebody who knows a lot, somebody who can give us answers to the questions that we ask, right? So Wonderful Counselor in the Hebrew literally means a wonder of a counselor. It speaks of the wisdom of his plans. It means he's a reliable counselor. Those who come to him will never be led astray. You know, we sometimes go to our friends to ask counsel from them, diba? And usually, or always, they will ask questions. They will ask questions seeking some background, diba? They need that in order to be able to give you advice. Jesus does not need to ask you for your background information because he knows it. John MacArthur, when he studied all the major encounters that Jesus had with individuals in the Gospels, he made this observation. He said, you know, whenever Jesus came and encountered somebody in the Scriptures, he always knew what to say. He always knew when to reach out. He always knew when to rebuke someone. Even his enemies in John chapter 7 said, no one ever spoke like this man. Jesus is therefore the perfect teacher. He's the ultimate counselor. He is. His plans are greater than our plans. His ways are way, way higher than our ways. He will accomplish his things way, way beyond our understanding. His ways we cannot fathom. He will do the greatest work ever accomplished successfully because he is the Wonderful Counselor. There was this magazine that told the story of a lady who, you know, it was Christmas, and in the rush, she bought 50 greeting cards. And, you know, she didn't take the time to look at the message inside the card. So she took all these 50 cards, and she signed and addressed them all except one, and she left one for herself. So after dropping them in the mailbox, she finally had a chance to look at this one card. And to her dismay, she looked at the cards, and the card says, this card is just to say a gift is on the way. You know, if you receive that card and there was no gift that came, the ones we say, wondering, where's the gift? Isn't it supposed to come? You know what? God does not forget. God did not forget us. He made a promise through Isaiah. And 700 years later, Jesus came. He became like us. He died for us so that we can have eternal life. Now, is there anybody here today who needs direction in life? Do you need the Lord to show you where to go or to make a very important decision? Do you need the Lord to show you how to deal with your problem? There's only one who can help. The Wonderful Counselor. He is the source of truth. Jesus is never confused. He never forgets. Turn to him. His counsel is there for you. He's the Wonderful Counselor. Now, the second name that Isaiah tells us, that he is the Mighty God. Mighty God. Now, the Hebrew word mighty means a champion, a hero. And a champion is the one who is left standing after a conflict. A champion is the one who stands when all others have fallen and have failed. Some of us probably have been watching the SEA Games. How many of you have been watching the SEA Games lately? You know, we watch our Filipino brethren fight, you know, hard in the games, and a lot of them have won the gold, diba? And of course, those who did, they're called the champions. That's what mighty means. Mighty God speaks of the power of accomplishment. And that word mighty is also a military title. It means that God fights for his people. So think about the first two names. Wonderful Counselor, that means God makes his plans. Right? The Mighty God, it means he makes his plans work. And so whatever he desires, whatever he wants to do, he's able to achieve. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Read me with me Psalm chapter 95, verse 3 to 5. Let me just read this to you. The Bible says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, and in his hands are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands form dry land." Our God is a mighty God. Now, sometimes we do not see that we need power beyond ourselves. Many people today have no idea how dependent they are on God. It was this story of a 747 jet that was flying across the Atlantic Ocean when they were in the middle of their trip, and the captain just said, "You know, attention passengers, we have lost one of our four engines. But don't worry, we can reach London with the three that we have, okay? Unfortunately lang, we're going to arrive 1 hour late." And so an hour later, the captain again made another announcement. "We are sorry to announce, but we've lost another engine. So we have two left. But don't worry, we can still travel with the two that we have left. I'm afraid we're going to be 2 hours late." And then shortly thereafter, the captain spoke again. "Guess what, folks? We just lost our third engine. But please be assured, we can fly this plane with one. We'll arrive in London, however, 3 hours late." One passenger got so angry, he said, "For Pete's sake, if we're going to lose another engine, we'll be here the whole night." What? Right? This guy didn't understand how dependent he was on the power that is beyond himself. Sometimes we take it for granted. The oxygen that we breathe, the sun that spreads light every day. Our God, He is a mighty God. He holds all of these things in his hand. When we think of God as a mighty God, we think of him as mighty over the little things in life, over the big things in life. He's mighty over our enemies. He's mighty over the evil forces that will seek to destroy us. He fights for us. What kind of a tough situation are we going through today? I want to remind you that Jesus is on top of that, because he is the mighty God. So turn to him, trust him, rely on him. Amen. So he is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. The third name that Isaiah gives to us is that he is the Everlasting Father. Now the Hebrew phrase "Everlasting Father" literally means Father of Eternity. Father of Eternity. That means he speaks of a purpose of his coming. That means he is here before, he's above, he's beyond time. He's the Father of Eternity. He possesses eternity, is Father forever. Now, we don't commonly think of Jesus as Father, diba? And of course, this phrase is not talking about Jesus taking the position of the Father of the Trinity. But Everlasting Father here describes an attribute of the Father, of Jesus, as a Father forever. He's like a Father. He cares for his people. And because he owns eternity, he can give us eternal life. And this is important because All of us have fathers, right? I know that there are some of you here whose fathers have abandoned you or betrayed you. Some of you might not have, you know, did not grow up with a father. But let me just read to you Psalm 68, verse 5. Bible tells us, the father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. You know, I have a dad. He's here. He will not be a father forever. I'm a father, but I will not be a father forever. I will someday pass away. All humans must go. But Jesus is father forever. You know, whenever my children need something, whenever they have a situation in their lives, I do my best to provide for them. And if they fail, I don't kick them out. Why? Because they're my kids. They belong to me. They carry my name. They bear my name. Yet I have many failures as a father. But Jesus is father forever. A father protects. A father provides. A father is someone who's tender to his children. He teaches, he leads them, he nurtures them, he gives them all that they need. A father loves his children. There's this story about a man. I think I got this from a book like Chicken Soup for the Soul or something. But this man wrote a story about the time when he was a boy during Christmas. And his dad was very poor, and his mom had passed away. And his dad had to wash windows in order to make a living. And it wasn't much. There was this time when his dad couldn't leave him anywhere. So he brought his son with him for work. And for 9 hours, the father washed windows while the boy tried to entertain himself. And, you know, after that, they started to go back. It was Christmas. They passed an area where people were selling these Christmas trees. And, you know, the boy pulled the hand of his dad and said, "Dad, can buy one. You know, it's nice. It's Christmas." And, of course, the dad tried to explain, "You know, we cannot really afford to buy a Christmas tree." But as they were walking, the dad reached down and picked loose branches which had fallen down from those trees that have been cut. And he didn't think about it much. The boy didn't think about it much. And so Christmas Eve came, and it was cold night, and the little boy was in his room, and he heard a little bit of a noise outside. And so he snuck out, and he saw his dad, took a broomstick, and he had a knife and poked holes on the stick. And he placed those branches that he took, and he poked them into the holes. And the boy was looking, and his dad. His dad was there with a blanket around him. It was so cold that night, he could see his breath. You know, this is America, so there was breath of snow. And as the young boy saw him, he never forgot that night. He remembered his father making that homemade Christmas tree out of those little branches that he got when they were walking home. And later on, this little boy grew up. And this is what he said about his dad. He said, "After that night, I never had to ask my dad if he loved me, because I had seen his love in action." You know what? When you and I look back at Calvary, when you and I look back at what Jesus had done on the cross, we never have to ask if God loves us, because he does. He proved it when he came and he was born into this world. He lived a perfect life. He died in the hands of his enemies, but he rose from the dead. He was victorious, and he will come again to bring us, and he will give us eternity. That is the love of a father. I want to speak to those of you here who might not have the love of a father. The Bible tells us he is father forever. Amen. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father. And the last one is Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Now that phrase literally means the prince whose coming will bring peace. The prince whose coming will bring peace. And that speaks of the result of Jesus' coming. Now, peace is a wonderful thing, right? We all want peace. But it's hard to find in the world today, isn't it? We want peace. We work for peace. And it's worth working for, right? The Bible tells us that the ultimate plan of God for peace does not rest in treaties or in material prosperity or in progress of a nation. God's plan for peace rests on a person. And it's on the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus offers peace with God. And He brings the peace of God to those who walk with Him. Let me read to you two verses from Romans chapter 5 and the next one from Philippians. Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our own efforts? Through what we have done? No, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Why? Because we could have never been able to come to God because we are sinners. He's a holy God and we are all sinners. But God, through Jesus Christ, made a way." Therefore, Romans then tells us, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And even in our sinfulness, even in our failures, God looks at us with kindness and with love because we now have peace with Him. Philippians chapter 4, 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace of God. Now, peace with God is the basis for all true peace. We must first have peace with God, and that peace comes through our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And when we have become Christians, we have been granted the peace with God, and once we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. And one of the most famous stories of peace happened on Christmas Eve in 1914. It was World War I. There was the German forces and the Allied forces were fighting against each other on the Western Front. And the war just started some 3 months earlier. And it was a cold night, Christmas Eve, and on that night, the Allied soldiers, all the soldiers were in their trenches in their own places. And then the Allied soldiers heard on the other side, the German soldiers started to sing a tune that they recognized. Now, the word was in German, but they knew the tune. And they were singing "Silent Night." Now, separating the German soldiers from the Allied soldiers was this very vast territory that you would not step in. Otherwise, you're going to be shot to death. And so here were the Allied soldiers, and here were the German soldiers, and here were the Allied soldiers. The German soldiers started to sing "Silent Night." And here on the other side, the Allied soldiers began to sing "Silent Night" as well in their own language. And on that night, that Christmas Eve in 1914, both the enemies began to sing "Silent Night." Now, it doesn't end there. Sainsbury, a supermarket chain in the UK, put together a short video that depicts what happened on that Christmas miracle in 1914. I want us to watch this video.
Oakley.
Knight.
Jenkins. Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
It's schön.
It's schön.
Henry Williamson was there on that night. He was fighting for the Allied forces. And he wrote to his mother, and this is what he said. He said, "Yesterday the British and the Germans met and shook hands in the ground between the trenches and exchanged souvenirs. Yes, all day Christmas Day, and as I write, marvelous, isn't it?" Why marvelous? Because enemies were united. And that story gives us a glimpse of the ultimate Christmas story, which isn't just that we are united with one another, but because we are united with God. That Christ steps here for us to bring us peace. Now, it's way deeper than that story because, you know, in that story, the enemies met in the middle. They basically decided to lay down their arms. They were at war, but they laid down their arms on that day and they met in the middle. But the Christmas story isn't that we meet with God in the middle. No. Jesus comes all the way down here for us. He was born in our broken world. He was born in enemy territory, so to speak. And he wins us to himself by loving us. And in the middle of our unfaithfulness, in the middle of our sinfulness, he enters our broken world to rescue us. He doesn't meet us halfway. He comes all the way here for us. And that is the message of Christmas, isn't it? He doesn't just give us peace for a day. He gives us peace that lasts forever. He is the Prince of Peace. Have you made peace with God? Have you received Jesus into your life? If you haven't, I invite you to give your life to him today. For those of us here who have received us, many of us, still today, we live with fears in our hearts. We are trusting ourselves, our health, our strength, our money, or something other than God. And when things don't go our way, suddenly we are gripped with fear. Still others, there's lack of peace with one another. You're not living in peace with those around you. And yet, Jesus calls us to come to Him, because He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. When Jesus was born, the angels shouted, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to man on whom His favor rests." May the peace of the true God be with everyone here today. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And you know what the beauty of the passage is? It's found in the first three words. It says, "For unto us." For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For unto us, because the gift of Jesus is a personal gift from God to us. Not wrapped in fancy paper or ribbon, but in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, God gave to us the gift of His Son. You know, my prayer is that as we go through the Christmas season, that we can look back to marvel, to live our lives with gratitude and with hope. Let's enjoy the season, but let's keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, the Wonderful Counselor. Say that with me. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, our Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let's worship Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what You have done on the cross for us. Thank You, Jesus, for coming to this world, to our broken world, to save us. And as we sing this song this morning, as we think of what You have done for us, and as we ask the question, is He worthy? Lord, our resounding answer is yes. Yes, He is. Jesus, yes, You are. You are worthy. Amen.